Chapter 10. Decimus was bleeding from a dozen wounds, and he clutched a chain axe in blood-slick hands. He had lost his own weapons, and a number of those scavenged from fallen friends and foes earlier in the battle. His muscles were burning, and his armour was hanging off him in ragged pieces. One of his lungs was deflated, and his secondary heart was pounding, picking up the slack from his primary heart, which had been pierced by shrapnel. He was aware of more than a dozen internal injuries that required immediate Medicaid attention. He smashed the skull of a traitor beneath the butt of his axe, grimacing in pain as he struck. He tossed the chain axe aside. It was missing so many teeth that it was little more than a bludgeon. He picked up the crude knife that the enemy legionary had been clutching. It was hot to the touch and made his hand tingle strangely. Bile rose in his throat. He hurled the cursed blade away.
"Here, my lord," said a wounded ultramarine sergeant, proffering his power sword.
The warrior was so drenched in blood that he could have been mistaken for a word-bearer.
"My thanks, Sergeant Connor," he said, and took the blade.
He thumbed its activation rune, and energy coalesced down its length.
"Macragian?"
The sergeant nodded wearily.
"From the Crown Mountains themselves."
The scream of an incoming artillery shell sent ultramarines scrambling for cover. Decimus didn't bother. He could tell from the sound that it was a way off to his left. A hot wind tore across the corpse-strewn plain, and the choking clouds parted momentarily in the backwash of an unseen blast. The enemy was coming for them once again, lines of legionaries and dreadnoughts advancing alongside vindicators and predators. There were still thousands of them.
"My lord!"
came a shout. He was too weary even to register who it was that had spoken.
"My lord, look!"
Lifting his gaze skyward, Acus Decimus saw dozens of burning shapes falling through the upper atmosphere. Each was trailing a line of fire. He stood there in the mud and the blood, breathing hard. It was done.
"Reinforcements,"
said one of his legionaries, and Decimus felt a pang of shame. He had told no one but his most senior captains of the Cadre of censured legionaries of his final order. It was better that way, he had decided. There was a ragged cheer from a few of the men, thinking that their chapter master had confirmed the arrival of reinforcements. Others knew better, however.
"Those are not drop pods,"
said Sergeant Connor in a low voice that only Decimus heard.
"Reinforcements are not coming, are they?"
It was not a question.
"No," he said. "This planet is lost, and so are we. But we'll take all these traitor bastards with us."
With the sergeant's aid, he climbed wearily to stand atop the ruined hulk of a rhino, and he raised the power sword high for all to see. There were pitifully few of them left, but he saw pride burning in their eyes. Pride and anger. The first of the orbital strikes hit to the north. There was a blinding flash, and rising green flame mushroomed into the air beyond the horizon. The sound would not hit them for almost a minute, the chapter master judged. Others were coming down overhead, closer than the first. History would not judge him harshly for this, but only because none of the 13th Legion would be left alive here once this was over. None to speak of what he had set in motion. No one would ever question which side had unleashed this horror upon a loyal world of the 500. The time for doubt was past.
"One last charge, sons of Ultramar," he roared. "One last charge, in the name of Gilliman and the Emperor."
He dropped off the rhino, sinking half to his knees in the clinging mire.
"Come, my brothers. Honor and glory. Honor and glory,"
they answered as one. The struggle did not last long. No contest between an armoured and unarmoured legionary would. Sor Talgrun caught Volkar Reth's hand in his fist as he stabbed at him. Bones crunched and the knife clattered to the floor. The predicant slammed his fist into the side of Sor Talgrun's helmet, cracking a lens and denting the ceramite.
And that is all you get, said Sor Talgron, the light of his cracked lens flickering. He grabbed Wrath by the neck and slammed him bodily into a wall, once, twice, using all his servo-assisted strength. Bricks crumbled around Wrath, and he slumped to his knees. Stepping in close, Sor Talgron slammed a heavy backhand blow into the side of his head, felling him instantly. Sor Talgron knelt over him, a knee in the centre of his back pinning him to the ground, and one hand pressing down upon the back of his head. He scooped up Jarilek's blade with his other hand. The hilt of the Athame felt warm to the touch, even through his gauntlet.
This is my mentor, and a warrior who in his day was worthy even of the Primarch's respect, growled Sor Talgron.
He had the blade of the Athame pressed to the back of Volkar Reth's neck.
I would not have him suffer needlessly.
It will work, Captain,
Jarilek assured him.
If it does not, I will cut your throat. I promise you that.
Then he pushed the knife between Wrath's vertebrae, cutting into the spinal column. The doors were already being eaten away before they arrived at the surface. The temperature in the conveyor had dropped markedly, and a harsh, alchemical stink was seeping through the vents. The lift cable overhead groaned. Sor Talgron wasn't sure they would make it to the top at all. For the enemy to unleash world killers was a stunning development. It was not a strategic possibility that he had even considered the 13th Legion undertaking.
This world is going to die, along with countless thousands of the 17th. Yet you seem impressed, said Jarilek.
I am, said Sor Talgron. I didn't think they had it in them.
He had ordered the evacuation, but there was little chance that more than a fraction of his legionaries had made it off-world before the bombs had struck. Now the Vox was awash with static.
We should have stayed down there, said Jarilek.
Be silent, priest, snapped Sor Talgron. To stay there was a death sentence. We have to get off-world.
Look at what they have unleashed,
snarled Jarilek. A chemical mist was seeping into the carriage, coming in through the vents and cracks in the door. Tongues of pale flame licked up from where the mist touched bare metal. They reached for Jarilek, drawn to his gesture.
You thought it beyond them? This world is going to burn!
Sor Talgron turned and shoved Jarilek up against the back wall, hand locked around his throat.
Your gods did not foresee this either, priest, he said. It seems that we all misjudged just how much the 13th hate us, how far they would go to see us bleed.
He gave Jarilek a final shove and turned away in disgust. It was not only disgust at the Dark Apostle, but everything. What the Legion had become, the weakness inherent in his genes, and his own actions on Terra, to name but a few.
To step out there is to die, said Jarilek. There are other ways, other paths that can be walked if one knows how.
Cold fury rose within Sor Talgron.
I will not flee like a worm into a hole, leaving my legionaries to die, he said,
casting a withering glare at Jarilek for a moment before turning his back on him.
So be it, breathed Jarilek.
The temperature inside the carriage dropped markedly, hoarfrost creeping up the walls. A host of shadows and whispers swirled around the word-bearers. When Sor Talgron looked back, Jarilek was gone. The conveyor came to a groaning halt. Already the metal was starting to buckle and collapse, being eaten away by the caustic chemical mist. The doors opened. Beyond, the world burned.